Thank you, Lauren. If you would please stand for the reading of God's Word, and if you brought your Bibles, turn them to the book of Hebrews, the 13th chapter and the 8th verse, as this morning we discuss the topic that our God is the same. Today we gather for what is the last Sunday of 2012, and in just a little under 48 hours, we're going to turn the final page on the calendar and see a new dawn of a new day for many people here in this country and all over the face of the world. 2013 is going to be a year in which difficult questions are going to be asked, and in certain cases, harder answers are going to come. 2013 is going to be the year of the question, how? How much more will a tax and spend government take from the hands of working men and waste an entitlement? How much more will I have to pay for milk and for bread and for meat and for gas and for groceries? How much more will it be for prescriptions and for pharmacies and for treatments and for doctor's offices? Those are personal hows. Then there's national and international hows. How much more will this nation slip from its foundations into a moral abyss? How much more will we see in terms of what's legalized and what's banned? We've legalized controlled substances like marijuana. We've condoned same-sex marriages. We've got government-subsidized abortion, which is murder by any other name. How much closer will Iran get to a nuclear bomb? How much further will the White House get from Israel? How much stronger will radical Islam become in North Africa and in Asia, in the Middle East? And while we're talking continents, let's consider radical Islam in Europe and in America, because it's there. Today we stand in a place where we have stood before 52 straight Sundays to worship the God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Today we ask ourselves how, but in search for an answer, we do not come up with questions and resources of mankind, but we simply look to the God who has promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us to the ends of the age. Today we may be at a crossroads of where fear and faith collide. And indeed, you may allow fear to reach around your throat and paralyze you from progress. Or in faith believing, you can declare that my God is a refuge and he is a strength and he is a very present help in a time of trouble. You can say in faith believing, I will not fear, though the mountains be removed and though the world be carried to the midst of the sea. Indeed, next year is going to be a year of uncertainty for those who do not know the Lord. But today, with rock solid confidence in God, my Father in heaven, I declare to you that next year, the same God who brought you through the last 12 months is standing beside you today, and he'll make a way for you tomorrow. The same God who healed sickness and disease is still healing sickness and disease today. The same God who promised to provide is still Jehovah Jireh, our provider. The same God who said he would never leave you nor forsake you is standing right beside you, and he will not abandon you even unto the end of the age. Today, I'm not predicting a brighter tomorrow, but today, on the final Sunday of this year, I'm here to tell you that our God reigns, and our God is faithful, and our God will not fail you, because our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Read with me Hebrews 13 and 8. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Let's read it together. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Heavenly Father, let the simple truth of your word penetrate our hearts. And with childlike faith, let us stand upon it and declare that we can have the best of things facing the worst of times, because we are children of the Most High God. In Jesus' name do we pray and ask, and all of God's children said amen. Amen. You may be seated. How can you make next year the best year of your life? The answer is very simple. Say so. And you say, well, that sounds nice. But according to the promise of the Word of God, Psalms 107, verse 2, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say that with me. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Jesus Christ told us that if we were to inherit the kingdom, if we were to see God's goodness, if we were to function as He intended believers to function, we had to do it with childlike faith. Children don't overanalyze. Children don't consider circumstance. Children don't look at the environment that's around them. Children simply say so. Give you an example. Every night before my 2-year-old goes to bed, he looks at his crib and he declares that he is the Amazing Spider-Man. And he climbs up the wheels of his crib into the bed, feeling as though he has climbed the Empire State Building with the same skills and strength as Spider-Man. Don't tell him he's not who he thinks he is. He has enough belief in what he's seeing and thinking to know he is the Amazing Spider-Man. You can declare and you can achieve because you have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you are not redeemed, then there is no hope found in the verse that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But because His blood has washed you white as snow, because you have believed in Him as your Savior, as He is, so shall you be. Because the Bible says that we are heirs and we are joint heirs. So if He is the same yesterday, how did the God of yesterday perform? He said so. He spoke the word, and whatever He said came to be. Jesus Christ said of you, believers, that you have the power to bind on this earth and it will be bound in heaven. That you have the power to loose on this earth and it will be loosed in heaven. In other words, He said, you have the ability to say so, and whatever you say, I'll do. He told His disciples, whatever you ask in my Father's name, He will do it. Follow this pattern from the Genesis of time. When God wanted to change order into chaos, when God wanted to change chaos into order, He said, let there be light, and the heavens and the earth were created. The world was void and it was with darkness, and God created something because He said so. When He wanted to change the world and give the authority of mankind over powers and principalities, He said so. He said, let us make man in our own image, and man became a living being. In you and I, God locked the power of declaration that gives us the ability to declare what we will receive based on the Word of God. When God wanted to see captives set free, He sent His Son Jesus Christ, whom we know is the Word of God that was made flesh. And when the Word that was incarnate walked on this earth, whatever He wanted to overcome in the authority of the Word of God, He said so. He spoke the word and crippled men got off of their beds and lame feet began to leap. He spoke the word and people who were sick with deadly disease were set free. He spoke the word and a dead man came walking out of his grave. He spoke the word and a sack lunch became a banquet feast for thousands. Why? Not because it was possible, but because He said so. You and I are created in God's image. Therefore, we have this same power of declaration. As a matter of fact, the Bible declares that the power of life and death are in the tongue. Say that with me. The power of life and death are in the tongue. How many of you, by show of hands, could admit that you know somebody? I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about somebody you know who has complained this last year. How many of you know somebody, not you, somebody you know, who's already complaining about next year? As your pastor, I want to declare to you that 2013 is going to be a no whining year. Stop whining about Washington. Stop whining about the world. Stop whining about the circumstance. Stop whining about what you don't see any hope in, and start declaring that your hope is not in the things of this world, but that your hope is in the Word of God. Stop whining about the economy and declare that God is Jehovah Jireh, who is your provider. Stop whining about health care and say, He will heal all of my sickness and disease, because He is the God who is Jehovah Rophe, the Lord our healer. Stop whining about the violence of this world and declare that He has sent His angels before me and behind me to be a guard round about me. Why is this so important? Because the power of life and death are in your mouth. And whenever you begin to use your words to whine about your circumstance, all you do is make it worse. But whenever you begin to open your mouth and declare and decree what God's promise is for you, mountains of impossibility are carried into the midst of the sea, and you have a victory that nothing can take away, because it comes through the Word of God. So if I have a proverb for you today, it's not fear not, it's whine not. Declare it based on God's word. Stop standing around in shock and silence, wondering what's going to happen next, and take a stand based upon what He has written in His word. Take a stand that the next 12 months is going to be a season of joy in a life that used to be filled with sorrow, because the Bible has said that in His presence is the fullness of joy. And if He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then the same God who comforted David and who comforted Elijah and who comforted Jesus Christ is the same God who will comfort you. Take a stand and declare that the next 12 months are going to be filled with the blessings of God that go beyond measure and know no limit, because He said He would supply your every need according to His riches and glory. And if He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then the same God who poured out blessings on His children in the past is the same God who will pour out blessings upon you. Take a stand and announce to the enemies of righteousness that if God be for you, who can be against you? They may have thrown hell at you over the last 12 months, but you're going to call down heaven on them over the next 12 months. You're going to call down every power and principality and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. This past year, they may have taken months from your marriage, but this next year, you're declaring your marriage is coming back. This past year, they may have taken profit from your business, but this next year, you're declaring a new season of abundance is coming back. This past year, they may have taken your children into the far country, but this next year, you're declaring my baby is coming back. This last year, they may have taken what God has given, but you have declared in the house of the living God today that whatever the enemy has stolen, he must repay, and you are going to take it back in Jesus' name. You cannot declare if you're whining. So before you start declaring that you're going to win the 6-state lottery, buy a yacht and sail the 7 seas. Somebody said, I feel that, yeah. Let's talk about some hindrances and some parameters to what you can and cannot declare. First, I want to tell you the difference between a hindrance and a parameter. First, let's look at a parameter. A parameter is a limitation that is in place for your protection. Give you a living example that you ignore every day, the speed limit. It is a parameter, a limitation that is in place for your protection. Based on the size of the road, based on the area where it's built, based on the things that are happening around, they say it's 55, 65, 75. I remember when I was in college in Tulsa, there was a turnpike that came out of the city of Tulsa and went straight to the state line, and you could drive 80 miles an hour on that road. Now, I'd never seen a road with a speed limit of 80 at that point in time. There are several now. And I thought, wow, I got on that road and went 90. I got pulled over. Oklahoma State Trooper pulled up and he said, "Son, why are you driving so fast on a road where you can already go 80? I said, "Sir, I'm from Texas." He said, "I can see that on your license plate and by the license you've handed me." He said, "That doesn't answer the question." I said, "Yes, it does." He said, "How?" I said, "Well, sir," I said, "if you know that I'm from Texas, then you know that I can't get out of Oklahoma fast enough." I didn't get a warning. I got a ticket. There was a parameter, and I was ignoring it. The only parameter that you have on what you are able to declare is the Word of God. This is the limit, and this is the extent of what you can and cannot possess. The parameters of this book entitle you as a redeemed child of God to houses that you didn't build, wells that you didn't dig, vineyards that you didn't plant. It doesn't matter who's in office, that promise is backed by the God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Locked inside the pages of this text is a life that is beyond limit, in which you have been promised that all things are possible to those that believe. There is no statute of limitations upon the miracle working power of God, because who He was yesterday is who He is today and who He promises to be in all of your tomorrows. What I hold in my hand has set captives free and put armies to flight. It has mended broken hearts and it has restored ruined lives. In the past, it has comforted the downhearted and strengthened the weak. It has given rest to the weary and victory to the tested and tried. If you're pressed on every side today, if you're persecuted, I want you to know that you may be pressed down, but you're not abandoned. You may be persecuted, but you're not forsaken. You may be crushed, but you're not destroyed. You have a hope, and His name is Jesus Christ. He is the living Word, and if you will declare His promise, victory is yours through Christ the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. But then there's a hindrance. Hindrances are different than parameters. Parameters are limitations put in place for your protection. Hindrances are things and behaviors that are in you that keep you from fulfilling your destiny. There are four hindrances that we see to the power of our declaration. The first hindrance is a spiritual hindrance. That's unconfessed sin. The sin that you knowingly commit and refuse to quit. Psalm 66 and 18, it says, "If I regard iniquity in your heart, I will not hear." God says, if you keep that sin inside of you, I cannot hear whatever you say. But here's the joy of it. The mercy of the Lord is renewed every morning. 1 John 1:9 says, if we will confess our sins and forsake our sins, don't forget the forsaking. He said He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. After spiritual hindrance, there's a physical hindrance. For some, that shows up in our habits and our behaviors, in things that we allow into our lives that betray our purpose. For some, it can be an indulgence, an addiction, a compulsive habit, drinking, nicotine, overeating, prescription pills, illegal drugs. Behaviors that keep us from accomplishing our destiny. Tempers, negative attitudes, cynicism, bitterness, lying, gossip. I know a lot of people who are going on fasts. That's why they've been eating so many desserts through the end of December. They're sugaring up, knowing they're getting ready to sugar out in January. The other day I was having a conversation with someone about a fast, and they said, well, you know, tell me about fasting and why it works. I said, it's anything that you use to comfort yourself, you need to give up. He said, why? I said, because you are making yourself God instead of allowing God to be God. He said, well, this individual was one of those wretched folks who never weighs more than 105 pounds. I mean, just drives me nuts. I've got socks heavier than that. And he said, well, what should I give up? I mean, I don't eat that much anyway. I said, why don't you go on a silent fast? I said, just give up talking. And it made him mad. I wonder why. But the reality of it is some of you use your mouth to defeat yourself as much as an addict uses a drug to defeat himself. That's a hindrance to what you are intended to be. Then there's emotional hindrances. The greatest emotional hindrance that I can think of is a very appropriate topic on a day like today because it's history. Most often, people look over their shoulder at yesterday and determine what they can do tomorrow based on what they've seen in the past. Let me give you the greatest advice that you'll ever get at the end of this year. Thank God it's over and move on. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3, "Forgetting those things which are behind me, I press on." You say, okay, Pastor, well, how do I press on? How is it possible to forget about yesterday? Listen to what the Word of God says to you. He said, behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. The things of your yesterday did not come to stay, child of God. They came to pass. God Almighty is telling you today, a new thing I declare. Today He is declaring to you that all things have become new to those who are in Christ Jesus. When Jesus Christ hung on your cross and He died your death and He shed His blood, one drop of that crimson flow has allowed your painful past to be washed whiter than snow. One drop can break the chain of every addiction in your yesterday. One drop can cause every sinner to forsake his sin and become a saint. One drop can open the windows of heaven and close the gates of hell. One drop is all that you need to be set free from history. For whom the sun sets free is free indeed. In faith believing today, declare that by the blood of Jesus, my yesterday is gone. My tomorrow is a victorious tomorrow. Today's victim is tomorrow's champion because of what Christ has done. The fourth major hindrance is fear of the future. Many people allow themselves to become so fearful of tomorrow, they create situations that are far worse than reality. Let me tell you something. The Bible very clearly says that we have no reason to fear. Because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but He has given us one of power and of love and a sound mind. Say that with me. Power and love and a sound mind. You say, well, Pastor, sitting in this pew, what kind of power do I have in the world in which we live? You have the power of His written word that is alive and it is powerful and it is sharper than any two-edged sword. You have the power of His name that is highly exalted above every name. You have the power of prayer, which is your sacred privilege to sit on this earth and talk to Almighty God in heaven. And when you speak to Him, you can make war in the heavenlies and cast down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. The Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty. That means that they are anointed of God, not anointed for battle, but anointed for victory. Child of God, the battle you're in belongs to the Lord, and greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. Do not fret and do not fear. You have the power of God Almighty on your side. He said, if power is not enough to keep fear from you, not only have I given you power, but I've given you love. Unconditional love. Love when you didn't deserve love. Love that is so great and so deep, you're loved when you were unlovable. Love that is so strong that the Bible says neither height nor depth nor power nor principality can separate you from it. Love that is so amazing and divine that it gives you the confidence to look at the giant that is before you and declare, you may come to me with spear and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. The reason you have no purpose in fearing the future is because the Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. And if you know that God loves you with perfect love, He'll take care of you today and He'll watch over you tomorrow. If love were not enough, He's given you a sound mind. The Bible says, know the times. Say that with me. Know the times. In 2 Timothy 3 and 1, we read, in the last days, perilous times will come. Paul goes on to describe a day that is as accurate as our headlines. He says, men will become violent. We live in a violent world. He said, times will be volatile. We live in a world that is very unstable. He said, men will become vicious and lovers of themselves. That means whatever they see that's best for them, that's what they're going to do. Know the times. Jesus Christ said in the book of Luke, the 21st chapter, that when you see these things begin to happen, know the times. Look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. The message is very clear. Do not get discouraged, church. Do not read a recent headline and allow that to forecast your future. Do not look at the latest report and sit back and fret and worry and wonder why. You have a sound mind. You know the times. You know that God is on His throne. You know that He said when these things happen, the best news is that He's coming back for you. Fear not, saints of God. Jesus Christ, the King of glory, is on His way. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Not only do you have the ability to declare, but you have the authority to declare. There are a lot of things that we say we can do that we don't have the authority to do. But when it comes to declaration, by the blood of Jesus Christ, you have His authority. Revelation 1, 5 and 6, it says, He has washed us in His blood and He has made us kings and priests. Kings and priests unto God. Kings and priests declare. When a king sits on his throne, his place of power, he makes a declaration and it becomes law. When a priest stands in the sanctuary and he declares the word of God, what he is saying is backed by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and God says that that word will not return void. I say all this so that you will understand that what I'm telling you is not something I wish you would do. It's something you have the authority to do. For a moment, let's look at God's relationship with the children of Israel when they were in Egypt. It took God one day to get 2 million slaves out of Egypt. A matter of hours, and those who had been bound for centuries were set free. It took God 40 years to get the slave mindset out of them. It took moments to get them free from their bondage. It took them years to get over the bondage. Why do I say that? Because the book of Romans tells us that when we were in sin, we were slaves to sin. We were like the children of Israel in Egypt. We didn't have the authority to declare or to decree anything because everything was dictated to us by Satan, our slave master. He bound us with addiction. He bound us with behavior. He bound us with pride. And yet the day that we received Jesus Christ, we were set free, fulfilling what the scripture says, that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. With one prayer, it didn't take an all-night vigil. It didn't take a 12-step program. But with one moment of saying, Lord, I believe in your Son and I receive Him as Savior, you're set free. Now from that moment forward, The question is, are you living in the authority of your freedom? Or are you still living with the attitude of a slave that is bound to sin? You have been set free. You have been made a king and a priest unto God. You have the royal blood of heaven flowing in your veins. Whenever you hear that one of us can put 1,000 to flight, that's the Bible's way of encouraging you to get in the fight and don't stop until you have the victory. Whenever you read that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, that's God's way of saying, because you're my child, I'll back you to the wall. I want you to know today, you are not a victim of circumstance. You are an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You are not bound by what this world says about you. The world is talking about a post-Christian era. I don't care what they have to say. They tend to tell you from time to time that you're not created by God and you came from a monkey. If you want to put your faith in people like that, go right ahead. I place my hope, my trust, my faith, my future in a God who says I cannot fail because he is on my side. He has blessed me with blessings that I cannot contain. I'm not a number in a column. I am the blessed and highly favored of the Lord God. I am not a statistic that needs to be followed. I am one who is saturated with his favor morning, noon, and night. I can call upon him and he'll answer me and he'll show me great and mighty things that I know not. I can walk through the darkest valley and the light of the world will be right beside me. I can whisper his name and powers and principalities will flee. I can ask and I know I'll receive. I can seek and I know I will find. I can knock and that door will be opened. Because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. You have the authority to declare. Do it. I dare you to do it. I dare you to look at what you consider to be absolutely impossible in this next year and say, in the name of Jesus, what shall come to pass is greater than I can ask or think or even imagine. The Bible says that God looks at things on this earth and he calls those things that are not as though they were. He looks at dead things and he declares them alive and they come back from the dead. I want you to declare that 2013 is going to be the greatest year you've ever known. Declare that it is going to be a year in which your family receives the abundance of God like they've never had before. Look at your dead marriage and declare that this is the year your dead marriage is coming back to life. Look at your dead business and I dare you to declare that this is the year that your business will be blessed with abundance greater than you can imagine. Look at that mountain that's standing in your way and declare that by the grace and the strength and the power of Almighty God, if that mountain is not removed, that he'll give you the strength to climb the mountain. Declare that you cannot be defeated. Declare that you will not quit. Declare that you are indeed more than a conqueror through Christ. Do not make an apology for your faith. Do not surrender in retreat. Declare that you are a part of a kingdom that the gates of hell cannot stand against. You're not here to beg the world's pardon. You're not here to ask their permission. You're here to take a stand for Jesus Christ until he comes again. Declare it and let it be so. The Bible says faith without works is dead. So if what you want next year is something you've never had before, and we'd better make a declaration before you leave this room. So here's how I want to close this service. I want everyone to stand with me. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When Solomon dedicated the temple, God sent his spirit to that place. And he told the people of Israel, whenever you call upon me in this place, I will hear and I will answer. That is why to this day, thousands of people from all over the world go to the western wall of that old temple. Because what God said he would do for Solomon, he's still doing today. He's listening and he's answering prayer. The Bible says, if any two of you come into agreement concerning anything, it shall be done for you. There are some of you who are in this service today and you're with your spouse, you're with your family, you're with someone with whom you can join in agreement. I want you to take that person by the hand right now. Others of you are here by yourself. You are going to come into agreement with me. And we are going to end this service removing every hindrance that would keep you from accomplishing your divine destiny, and then declaring that God's goodness and his favor and his abundance are going to be yours like never before in this next year. I want everyone to raise at least a hand and repeat this prayer with me. Lord Jesus Christ, today I come before your throne and I am asking you to remove every spiritual, every physical, every emotional, and every fearful hindrance in my life. Today, I am not concerned about the world in which I live because I'm standing upon your word. And based on your word, I am declaring that I am going to receive your goodness in the land of the living, that the enemy in my life will be defeated. And today, in Jesus' name, I come into agreement in this sanctuary where your presence dwells, where you've promised to hear, and I declare. Now I want you to open your mouth and tell the Lord exactly what you want. Heavenly Father, I declare that my marriage is going to be the best marriage that it's ever been. I declare that my business is going to receive blessings of abundance from the north, the south, the east, and the west, resources that we could not even see, but you supernaturally provided. I declare that my children are going to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and that every unsaved member of my family is going to be saved. Heavenly Father, I declare for those who are searching for a spouse that this day you are hearing their heart's cry and you're taking them into the season of life which you'll meet their need. I declare for those who are looking for abundance, Heavenly Father, that you are going to give them houses they didn't build, wells they didn't dig, and vineyards they didn't plant. I declare that those who have been brokenhearted in the past will know joy like they've never known it before as you give them the oil of gladness and they walk from this place in the abiding presence of God Almighty, who has promised that in his presence is the fullness of joy. Lord God, I declare that in 2013, Cornerstone Church will make an impact on this state, on this nation, and on the nations of the world, which we indeed will pull down strongholds, set captives free, and see a revival come to this nation like never known before. I declare it, Heavenly Father, not because the world wants it, but because your word says I can have it, and based upon your word, in faith believing, I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now give the Lord a hand clap of praise in this house today.
Thank you, Matthew, for that good word from the Lord today. Will you raise your hand for the blessing? And now may the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you, and may the Lord make his face to shine upon you, and may the Lord be gracious unto you and give you his peace. May you live this day and this coming year, knowing that you are a child of God, a king and priest unto the Lord, and that in the kingdom of God, you are going to prosper and be well, regardless of what happens around you. It is well with your soul and your house, because you stand upon the solid rock, Jesus Christ. In his name do we proclaim victory. Amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise in the house of God.